Blog Talk Radio.
I joined Uber One because I hate delivery fees and I need to save money for when I get canceled. And I don't want to go back to selling pictures of my feet. I mean, how would I even do that? Find out at bignaturaltoes.net. Join Uber One or don't, I don't care.
You give your best, so do we. At Penn Sports Medicine, we offer the most advanced treatment options based on the latest research and understanding. Our customized plans aim for whatever recovery means for you. It's smart sports medicine that helps you find your possibilities. Another reason why your life is worth Penn Medicine. Request an appointment at pennmedicine.org/sports.
Greetings, Soul King, and welcome to the grand finale of the Soul Twins, a product of Damon Network, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. We are on air live from Long Beach, California. To call in, dial 605-562-0444, PIN number 741-4519 pound. Press 1 pound to listen, and press star 2 to join the conversation. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Anna Waddell.
And my network, Burks.
And tonight's topic, when did you fall in love with poetry? Now, Edward, what better way to salute our story franchise than to pay homage to poetry, the wordplay mains that got it all started for the Soul Twins, man. So this is a very special night. And before we get started, I'd like to say thank you to our soul kin around the world, to everyone that ever took the time to participate, to listen to our show, to listen to our voices, to let your voices be heard, to let us maybe invoke a thought or encourage a spirit in you that maybe you didn't think you had. The courage to express yourself through poetry and raising your voices as we raise awareness. And we're going to miss you guys. We really are. And I'm just happy that we had this whole year, this wonderful year, to celebrate every victory with you. You all made it possible. And Ed and I can't thank you enough. So, Ed, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, I do. I want to second that emotion there. I also want to say thank everyone for supporting us and listening into the show. You know what I'm saying, which take a sacrifice to sit down and listen to an internet radio show. But we always try to give you the best that we can give. So thank everyone. Big respect to everyone out there.
Yes. All right. So, again, tonight's topic, when did you fall in love with poetry? And we have a talented roundtable panelist, poetry aficionados. We have Melissa Yelverton, Say That. Jeffrey Sanders, Connected Mind. Oxygen the Poor will not be able to join us tonight. He's had a family emergency, so I ask that everyone please lift him up in prayer and, you know, ask for God's unwavering hands to touch the situation and fix it. And we're waiting on IG the Poet, but we can go ahead and get started and she can join in. Okay, so Jeffrey Sanders, Connected Minds, are you on?
I'm definitely here. You know I'm here.
What's up, Mr. Boston?
You know what? My plane just landed inside my mind. You know what I'm saying? I came in here to appease y'all, please y'all, do everything y'all want me to do. And you know I'm here for
we
just that.
All right. And Say That, are you on, my sister? Queen Sister.
No, not yet. Nah, she's not in that. Not at this time. I'll let you know when she's in, Soul Twin.
Okay. So, Edward, we can start off with the first premise of you, Jeffrey, and I can speak on it. And then once Sadat gets on and Aji gets on, we'll go back to the topic, the premise. Premise one, the power of poetry. Well, first, let's go back to the title. Okay, when did you fall in love with poetry? And then I'm going to go into the first question, Jeffrey. When was the first time poetry found you?
That's an interesting question because, let me say this. I'm going to say this, and this is a little backwards. People don't say it's a little backwards, but I didn't fall in love with poetry. Poetry fell in love with me.
Okay.
I write poetry. And so when I write, the words fall in love with me in order to open a path for me to keep writing. So it keeps loving me. And when it loves me, well, then I can continue to write unceasingly.
All right. And you espouse that it's only Jeffrey Sanders' connected mind, mental being, seducer, explain that. Edward, when did poetry first find you?
Well, the first time poetry found me was back in the Caribbean. I was like 16 years old. We went to the library looking for something to read. That's when back in the day, kids went to the library. And looking through this poetry section called me over there. I mean, looking through the poetry and everything, it was and Langston Hughes. And the ironic part about it was that it was like, it just stood out because he was sitting, it was called Langston Hughes Collection Poems. I remember that. And he's sitting there with like a brown striped shirt, pinstriped shirt. He had a comb in the process, mustache, right? You know, had an old-fashioned typewriter. Opened the book, and the first poem he read for the mind was A Dream Deferred. And when I read that, that's when I fell in love with poetry, sister. Big respect to Langston Hughes, too. The whole Harlem Renaissance affected me, so big up to him.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, now, and I think we have our queen. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you real quick.
Wait.
No, when did you first? What?
Before I answer, let me let our queen sister say that. Say that.
Oh, okay.
What you got to say about that? Answer the question, please.
I fell in love with poetry when I was a little girl. I used to write all the time at home. And at school, we would be given writing prompts. We would have to use our spelling words to create a story or whatever. And my teacher pulled me off to the side and she said, Do you read poetry? And I told her no. And so she would give me some little poems to read and books to read. And she said, you write just like this. And I thought, wow. And so I just kept on writing at home. But when I fell in love with it professionally, it was around 2011. So it's always been with me. I just never knew that I was a poet when I was little until one of my teachers reached out with me. So it's always been with me.
Okay. That was so good. Okay, well, for me, the first time poetry found me was the day that my mother passed. And I've told this story before. I was in the bed with her when she took her last breath. And as I got up to shower, you know, for us to go to the funeral home to make the arrangement, words just started pouring into me as I cried in the shower. You know, and it was sad initially then. It was like the water was therapeutic. It was healing. And it filled me with all these words that so beautifully described my mother. And I can say that's the first time poetry found me, but it looks like, and I can say this, whenever I was in a hard situation, like when I got laid off, poetry found me again, you know, and I would write in a beautiful way to take away the pain, to distract away from the pain. And I really didn't get into poetry on social media until like 2016. And then, you know, from meeting all the talented poets that I've met, you know, I've had multiple influences, but, you know, in doing that, you find your own voice, you find your own way. So I'm grateful for that. Okay, so Edward, you have a question?
No, yeah, I do actually. To Jeffrey, sorry about that. Jeffrey, tell me something, because your style is like very distinct. Yeah, it's very distinct. You're a powerful poet. Where did that come from, man? Yes, you know, how you developed that and what influence you had to create that type of poetry that you create?
Well, let me just say this. When I was locked up in the federal institution, now let me just say, because before I got locked up in the federal institution, I was always using street lingo. And in the process of that going behind the wall, I started reading the Malcolm X biography. And the words he used caught my eye, and the way he used them so eloquently. And so I started studying his wording, and then I started studying the dictionary. And I started picking up the language as it was written in the dictionary, and I just started writing, started putting things together and still in my head the words, and I just started using them and putting them together and mixing them up and, you know, making it work at the same time, sending the message, and that's how I come to know the wording and the language behind the ball.
Wow, that's deep. It's almost like that movie of Malcolm X where he went to prison. He became like enlightened.
Absolutely. Yeah, I followed, you know, that. I actually followed that same teaching that Malcolm X learned through a dictionary. Absolutely.
See, that's beautiful. See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm saying, where I never knew that about you. I'm sure the artists had never known about you, too. Now it explains, and it gets an insight of where you're coming from with your poetry. It's all about consciousness, enlightenment, awakening.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Rebirth.
Absolutely.
Like that. Big respect, yeah. Big respect to that.
Okay, so, Edward, you answer the question. And then we'll go to say that.
Well, you know, like you said, where it's like my team basically was pretty similar, you know, it's like that. Yeah, you know, I never took it down, like, but I'll say this too, where for a minute I ended up doing a little stretch myself. You know what I'm saying? I just say I got to America and started hustling, got caught up. Did a trail of 5 years, Quentin. And when I was in there, that Jeff knows, man, that either you go to the left or go to the right or stay on the path. I just stay on the path. I just really immerse myself in poetry. Yeah, I'm saying like that. And out of that, for me being from the Caribbean, yeah, I'm saying like that, I put all that in the poetry that I do today. My consciousness, I'm aware of the black poets of the 70s and all that. So me poetry is a blend of island, number one, spiritual, consciousness. Yes, that type of thing. So that's where I'm coming from, mine, Anna.
Okay. Say that.
What was the question again?
Ed, can you ask your original question?
What?
It had to do with where do you get your style of life?
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. I know I'm a totally different writer, but I used to read Edgar Allan Poe and Maya Angelou and all of them. But I started off as a romantic poet. For a long time, I just thought, I'll just put this out. A lot of it was, you know, what I thought of love, what I dreamed love was. I would put in some of my experiences with love. And it wasn't until one of my Facebook friends came to me, inboxed me and said, you know, you make me want to believe in love again. He was recently divorced. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And then people would come to me wanting poetry for Valentine's Day for their significant others. That's when I knew, you know, whatever I feel, whatever words pour into me, you know, that's what I put out. A lot of times it's not a particular subject that I sit down and write. It's whatever comes. So whatever I feel, that's what comes out. I haven't tried to develop a style. You know, I always felt like the oddball type poet because I would hear certain pieces and think to myself, oh, I wish I could write like that. And then people would come to me and say, man, I wish I could write like you. And I thought, oh, that's awesome. So I just go with whatever comes. If I feel it, then I know it's a piece, because usually I hear the beginning, middle, and end, and it will haunt me until I write it down. So I just kind of go with whatever feeling comes to me. I don't know if that answered the question.
It does, and I write a lot like what you described. I started out basically commenting on pieces, mostly love pieces in Facebook, and someone told me, your comments are too beautiful to be hidden. Your words are too beautiful to be hidden in comments. You should post that as its own piece. And, you know, that's what I started doing. And then it started gaining momentum. And I started posting inspirational quotes. And then sometimes, like you said, the words will just come to you. You know, it's like a fire burning in you. And then the words just come to me and I just start writing and it becomes a piece. And so I'm diverse in my pen with, I don't write as much love now. I mostly write spiritual, conscious pieces, you know, things that's happening in the community. And like Jeffrey, the thesaurus is my friend. If you really want to expand your vocabulary, learn different ways of saying the same thing. And then what I also do, my wordplay, I create different spellings of words, you know, to make my poetry different. Okay, so I'm going to do a piece now, The Verbal Mystery of Poetry. Who can solve the verbal mystery of poetry? Many have tried, but notwithstanding, her vast diversity is multifaceted. She's indescribably delicious. Her ink swell wingspans like eagle's wingspan, spilling carefree floetics as maxi padded think wells bleed, ink Wellington's think overflow, spiritually cleansing her womanness. Imagine that. She completes sentencing phrases like her orange is the new black, unlocking verbal sound bars, no guards. Her master keys unlock mental roadblocks, setting captive minds free. She births verbal masturbators, pronouncing pronouns, consonants, and verbs consistently like triplets, triple playing, just saying. Her sapiosexual sapient, an artistic tapestry of sapio-romanticized prose, leaving readers infatuated with her gifted tongue messenger, more so than the intellectual properties relayed in thought-provoking messages. She is poetry, powerfully potent with long-stroked words, espoused with the greatest intentions to awaken, engage, inspire, uplift, and transform not only the minds and hearts of others, but most importantly, the poet who keeps you coming back for more mind-blowing, diversionary excursions. And that's that piece.
Yeah, man, you know what? That's a great, beautiful piece, you know? Like always, man, I sit there and just ride that journey. You know what I'm saying? I just ride that journey. And so, you know, it's like you talk about earlier about your styling, how you basically, you know, your wordplay, your content is all that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, a beautiful piece. And let me say one thing. Let me go back real quick to Melissa. You know, it, for me, it's hard to classify because she's not a poet. She's also a great singer. Yeah, you know, saying like that, woman hustler, all that. So when I read, every time I hear Melissa say that, right, do a king, like she's singing, because she'll mix singing with that. It's always, you know, I always feel that. So big respect to her like that. So that's like I said about that, Anna.
Well, and I want to give a shout out to Say That and Jeffrey Sanders, because Jeffrey Sanders was really one of my earlier influences with the way that he would write his pieces in such a mental depthitude that it made me really look inside of my mind to understand how I really wanted to express myself, maybe in a way that people couldn't normally understand, but in a way that's different, to encourage you to go outside of yourself, to look deeper and search deeper inside of yourself, to express yourself, you know, to express your true feelings of who you are, to be transparent. And then Say That, you know, she's a very emotional-driven poet. And what comes to mind most for me is when you participated in the slam. And, I mean, you just have raw emotion. And you're a storyteller as well as a poet, you know, and the way you just really everybody in, it takes you back to that memory, you know, those happy times, those sad times. But then you always wrap it up so beautifully in the end. It's victorious, and I love and I admire that about both of you all. So thank you for being here on the panel with us tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I have a question. Well, the evolution of words, let's go into the second premise. Okay, who's your favorite poet, and how did he or she influence you? Let's start with Say That.
One of my absolute favorites was Edgar Allan Poe. The way he could tell a story in poetic form, and depending on your imagination, you can watch it play before you. And I thought that's one of the most awesome things. And also Maya Angelou, where she can, poetry has arms and legs and, you know, and eyes and can pick you up and dust you off and you don't have to stay here type of thing. We are better than this. We can stand, we can be better, you know, for poets, those of old, to be able to be used like that. That is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing, because people have been affected for the rest of their lives, like me, and their work is, you know, in schools and things, and That is so awesome to be able to sit down and read that and be like, I want to do that. And for it to happen, you know, is awesome. Edgar Allan Poe is one of my absolute favorites. It was probably one of the first poets that I read. And that started in school as well.
Right. I remember reading Edgar Allan Poe, The Raven, and we had to write a paper on it. And
mm-hmm.
it was dark and mysterious, but it was beautiful, a beautiful pain at the same time. Okay. Mr. Boston, who's your poetic influence?
I have a large range of poets that are my favorite, but my two most favorite is Nikki Giovanni and Maya Angelou.
Uh-huh.
Both are activists, and both are about our people and our struggles. You know what I'm saying? So those two right there are my two favorites, you know. And what made Nikki one of my favorites, because I had a chance to actually meet and talk with her years ago when, you know, nobody really knew who Nikki was. But Nikki, even in her young years, was powerful because she was always about those social issues and human relationships, you know, and that intrigued me about her. Maya, my God, Maya was just so soft-spoken but straight to the point in her poetry. And I liked the way how she could take a poem and write it and then discuss it and then open your mind up to all the possibilities, especially when she was talking about the black woman and how a black woman can make herself better and be better, you know? So those are my two favorites.
Okay, well, before Edward and I answer the question, and we're going to open up you're on live with the Soul Twins. Caller one, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller one, are you on? Okay. I think we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, Pete, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Yes. Hello, brother. Tony Bakatoon, Master Sound Therapist. Welcome to the Soul Twins.
Soul Twins. Damn. You know what? Y'all going to make the Magic Man cuss up here. Anyway, shout out to the panel host. Sorry that I'm driving, so I got to do this. You know, first of all, you know the Magic Man got nothing but pure divine love for both of you, okay? And all of you, I got, you know, say that, Mr. Jeffrey. Oh, my God, man. What can I say to y'all, you know? Hey, but on the real, I just want to say thank you so much for all that you have given and for even helping me personally, okay?
Oh, well, thank you, honey.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
And that's what family
appreciate,
does.
Appreciate. Yes, sir.
Get in. So listen to me closely. Listen to me closely, okay? I want to congratulate Edward. Man, try not to get emotional here. I want to congratulate Sister Anna and Ed on your ONE syndicated station all-time connection record with a total of 452. Look at those numbers, y'all. Listeners with
okay,
y'all, 19th all-time and final. Okay, I'll give you the number again. It's 259,432. Listeners, this is your 19th
wow.
all-time and final at ONE Syndicated Station. We at the host and family for your legacy set place for all of us to reach higher heights. We will always love you both.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, it's all due to our soul, Ken. You know, everybody from around the world, you know, we love you all. And don't ever think for one moment that that love is going to change. You know, and I always tell Ed, we were brought together for a reason. You know, it was faith. God brought us in together to do this. And I'm just thankful that you brought Edward into my life. And so, Edward, you want to say anything before we go into the answering the questions? So thank you all again. We're most humble and grateful.
Yeah, I do. As always, only know how I feel about him. I mean, he's a true king.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he's like a definition of a black man. You know what I'm saying? So in my eyes, a black man like a king. See? And so we thank you, Hooney. We thank everybody out there who listen to us and support us. And one thing that we're proud of, many things we're proud of, but the main thing we're proud of is that we came to the game honest. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do, uplift our people, right? Trying to write relevant poetry, right? Relevant topics, all that type of thing, and we have succeeded. And so we came in that way, and we're going out that way. Baby, send me, brother.
I totally agree. Soul twin for life. Now, you want to answer the question, your favorite poet and how he or she influenced you, and I think you touched on it earlier.
Yeah, for me, it's all about Langston Hughes, man, and the Art of Renaissance. And it's ironic because Brother Jeffrey, he talked about Nikki Giovanni, and Zana knows I always talk about Nikki Giovanni because when I'm in the Caribbean and everything, and you know, so it's like a romantic type of thing in a way, you know, like sitting there on a coconut tree like that reading poetry. And I ran across a Nikki Giovanni poem, and it was straight fire. You know, it's a real conscious, right? No love poems, which I love. I don't think I ever read a love poem Nikki Giovanni did, but it just struck me. So my influence basically was Langston Hughes. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about him was that his writing style. And I read something from him the other day, and I noticed that how my style is, I never realized before, it's like his style. You know what I'm saying? Which is, to me, if I can even come close to that, it's an honor. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And so, basically, that's where my influence come from. The Harlem Renaissance. Also, Paul Lawrence Dunbar. You know what I'm saying? Phyllis Wheatley. Jack London. You know what I'm saying? People like that. You know, Emily Dickinson. You know, so I read that, too. You know, because if you're a poet, you know what I'm saying? You know, even I read a lot of black poetry, that type of thing. Poetry is colorless. You know what I'm saying? It can touch you no matter what color a person is. So,
right.
I can use for me.
Okay. Well, Jeffrey touched the nail on the head with me. My two favorites are Maya Angelou and Nikki Giovanni. Maya Angelou had a way of parlaying her hurt into power. You know, just like Sadat said, you know, she had a way of making you see that, making you understand that what the situation is not what it has to be. And she not only demonstrated that in her poetry, she lived that, you know. She was involved with the Harlem Renaissance. And she was involved with the civil rights movement. She was involved in politics in Ghana. And she took her voice all over the world. And Nikki Giovanni, you know, and Gil Scott-Heron, you know, black empowerment, you know, rising yourself up, you know, don't walk with your head down. And during the time of my youth, those were words to hold on to, you know, when with racial tensions and things like that. So, yes, it taught me how to express myself in a way that made me to show my pride. And I'm thankful for that. And then, like you said, Emily Dickinson and Phyllis Wheatley, you know, reading that diverse poetry in middle school and high school, you know, all of those things stay with you, and it kind of nails you into who you are now. So I appreciate that. Okay, so I have Edward, you want to ask the next question?
Well, let me get together here. I got a question. How do you think poetry has influenced and changed your life? And how do you think poetry actually influenced the world as a whole?
Okay, who you want to start with?
Jeffrey, Brother Jeffrey.
Wow. That's three questions in one.
No.
Well, let me just.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let me let me put it.
Yeah, just
like
pick one.
This.
Just pick one question and answer it.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna answer that as a whole.
Okay.
Like poetry and anything else that is congealed together, that creates a platform that expands the mind and influence other people to do. And wow, poetry has influenced me on so many different levels. And you know, poetry contains so many meanings, and sometimes when you delve deeper into to write on all different levels, sometimes the influence takes a life of its own, and you know the intent is to bring people together and express struggles and express love and help other people. You know, people don't read enough for me, so you know the influence of poetry on me has taken me to another level of consciousness and influenced me to be a better writer, a better understander, a better listener, and gave me another outlet to express me as a whole. And that's the influence poetry's had on me.
That's powerful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, powerful. That's everything, you know, since I've known you, right, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, I see in you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The beauty in that brother.
Absolutely.
The power, the consciousness, you know what I'm saying? This what I'm talking about poetry. Like, don't downplay this art. That way, it's an art. You know what I'm saying? Some people out there are just writing words and writing. But some of us out there, we're trying to do something, trying to say something. And Jeffrey is one of them. But baby, set me better.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, what's your thoughts on it? Say that.
I echo some of the sentiments Jeffrey mentioned. It gave me a voice where otherwise I didn't have one. And certain pieces I would write, I would get feedback through inboxes. You know, people would wish that they had the courage to say some of those things, and it also gives other people that voice. Talking about influencing the world, people are now, you know, embracing poetry, spoken word performance as a way of healing, as a way of expressing, as a way of releasing. 'Cause you'd be surprised, those who have held in what they have held in and what they have experienced. And I'm basically a quiet person, so I always wrote some type of short story or some type of poem or something when I was little. My mother would find all these different pieces of paper. What is this? And I'm like, oh, it's nothing. You know, she couldn't read it, so I, you know, you didn't have to worry about it. Some of those poems was about, you know, how I felt, you know, almost like journaling, but in poetic form. And it is a beautiful way of release, especially for those who are abused and those who are lonely, those who feel repressed and oppressed. They can get that out through poetry, through writing, some type of expression, and not feel like, you know, there's no release for them. And it's always been a release for me. It kept me from sinking. I put this in a piece. I'll try not to speak the piece, but it helped to keep my sanity. A lot of things that I went through, and I don't want to go through all of that, but, you know, you'd be surprised the amount of the weight that people have and what poetry can do to release that. And it has been that big thing for me because I don't voice a lot, but I will write the heck out of everything until I get it out. And my goal is to always stay true to the piece, stay true to the emotion that I wrote it with, because it's my release. Because, I, you know, when you feel that come off your shoulder after you write that piece, you know that it did that thing for you. And that's my prayer, that it does that thing for a lot of people, for the world. So if people could tap in, we ought to do poetry classes. I want to see all of our work in schools, in colleges. The upcoming generations can see that and understand that and not be stuck behind technology. No, get that out. There are things, you know, we hide behind stuff. And poetry is that one vice, well, many vices because there's so many different genres. But that's that way to release. It's also a way to give back. It's also a way to pull somebody up. It's also a way to correct somebody. And it's been that for me.
Okay, well, before Edward and I answer the question, we have caller two in queue. Caller two, you're on live with the Soul Twins. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, peace and blessings. Soul Twins, this is Sister Bessie.
Well, hello, Sister
from Front
Bessie
Port.
From the Front Porch. How you doing?
All right, I called in because I'm going to miss you, and I want to send all my blessings to both of you. You know what? Sometime when I listen to your show, it helped me because of the poetry. You know, because I spent a long time writing down how I felt. And the lady that spoke just a few minutes ago, and it was a way, just like she said, to release the pain that I had suffered. And when I would listen to your show, and when you had the poetry, it was just so relaxing, and it was so helpful. And I'm saying, you know, I'm just beginning on the show, but I wish you all wouldn't leave. You know, because we are here to help people, and what you do, it helps people. You know, I suffered a lot in my life, and the poetry, like it helps you spiritually, and it uplifts you, and you help a lot of people with what. So I just want to say that I love you both, and I wish you all the best, and that sooner or later, you will come back.
Okay, well, that's Queen Sister Say That. And thank you, Sister Bessie, for your beautiful words. And, you know, seasons change, and
we'll always be family. We aren't going to be strangers. So know that. And I'm glad that you found a peace and a courage, as say that said, to write and be inspired by what we do here on the show. So I'll go into my thoughts. And I agree with what both Jeffrey and Say That says. Poetry to me is verbal music to my ears. You know, it does. It inspires, it motivates, it gives people courage to speak their truth. It makes you open up. You open yourself up to the world on the pretense of helping someone. And poetry is a very, very powerful platform. And for me, it gave me the courage to go to DJ Olasky and ask for this particular platform. It gave me the courage, after reading Edward Burke's pieces, to say, hey, I want you to do this with me. Though our poetry was different, I knew that us bringing those different blends together would make something beautiful and special and wonderful, and it did. And it gave us a voice. It gave me confidence, you know, in my ability to get better in how I presented my poetry. It made my writing stronger. So for anyone, like Say That said, it's like journaling. Just write your thoughts down. I used to write, think everything had to rhyme. Now I tell more, I do more like storytelling. I don't always rhyme, but it's just your expressed thought. And if you feel good about it, you never know how you're going to help someone else. And I agree with Sister Bessie. Yes, this format has helped lots of people, and it will go on. And I'm thankful to have had this opportunity and to share this with Edward Burks, and to have the talented artists that have graced our mics, you know, the two on the panel, and a plethora of others, you know, so it helped to bring the poetry community together. And that's a blessing, because we all need to, each one teach one. We learn and we grow from one another. So those are my expressed opinions. Edward, what do you have to say before you go into your piece?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to talk to Sister Bessie, go back to that, and thank her for her kind words and everything about what we meant to the network, to her, and to basically the world. And I really appreciate it, Bessie. Trust me. And even though you're new, you have to say you're out here doing your things.
Yes, she is.
And spreading the message as well. And about that, when I think about poetry, I mean, for that question you asked me, I think for me, it's like Say That in every other poet out there, where it's like, you know, it's like a salvation. You know what I'm saying? Like for myself, where it's like, you know, if I'm depressed by feeling a certain way, I can put that down on paper. And people out there, you know what I'm saying, who feel just like I feel. So it's like sharing your burden away, right? You know what I'm saying, like that, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's my head about that, you know. So for me, my life poetry, it have, you know, it's everything for me. I mean, I live, breathe, eat poetry every day. You know what I'm saying, like that, right? You know, it's more than love. You know what I'm saying, it's a lifestyle. It's part of my DNA. So that's all I got to say about that, Emma.
All right, you want to go into your piece?
Yeah, man, I got a little piece here. And nobody know about this. I've switched it up. You know, Anna don't know. O don't know. I'm going to do a poem by myself. But, you know, we want to, this is the last show. I never got a chance to recite my favorite poet, which is Lexington Hughes. So I'm going to do a Lexington Hughes poem instead of one of my poems.
All right.
It's called Lullaby. Yeah, man, it's called Lullaby for a Black Mother. My little dark baby, my little dark thing, my little loved one, what shall I sing for your lullaby? Stars, stars, a necklace of stars, winding through the night, My Little Black Baby, by Dark Bodies Baby, what shall I sing for your lullaby? Moon, moon, gray diamond moon, kissing the night. Oh, little dark baby, night, bright baby. Star, stars, moon, night, stars, moon, through sleep song, lullaby, in peace.
That was beautiful. Langston Hughes' pieces were not always long, but, you know, there's less is more sometimes.
Yeah, most of the pieces weren't long. You know what I'm saying? Like that, right? I love the way the wordplay in that. Clever. You know what I'm saying? Like that, right? And so, basically, that's why I wanted to do it. So, thank everybody for bearing with me upon that. And, you know, thank you, Anna, all for everybody. So, thank you.
All right, and we're going to go into our third premise. Poetry, the new black power. Jeffrey, how has poetry revolutionized?
I knew you was coming for me. Say that again.
How has poetry revolutionized your mind?
Now look, let me just say this. Let me put it like this. The rich history of black people fighting in the struggle is the one that defines the essence of who we are as a people. And I think the new black power emphasizes racial pride and economic empowerment. And today's activist spirit is an in-your-face energy that's telling the new Babylon that Black Lives Matter. And that's what I'm going to say on that.
All right. Say that. How's poetry revolutionize your mind?
Some of the same sentiments that Jeffrey spoke. I do want to say, by the way, Jeffrey Sanders is a phenomenal, awesome teacher and poet, and I appreciate his work. The way it has revolutionized my mind and my thinking is, There are no words that can be wrong, especially when it comes from your soul. I no longer have to be quiet. I can speak out about abuse. I can help somebody else see that abuse is wrong, and you can open your mouth and say that. You don't have to take it. I can, you know, we have a power. Sometimes we take that power for granted. We don't always realize that we do have the power of life and death. And once we release it, it's going to go and perform that thing. So a lot of times when we're venting, when we're inspiring, when we're whatever we're doing, we are creating. And that's how it's revolutionized my mind, because I can create. I can create a light for somebody who's in darkness. I can create a voice for somebody who feel like they cannot speak. I can create an avenue for someone else to go. I can help pave the way for the younger revolutionaries that's going to walk down that road. You know, we create batons, and we pass it on to the next generation, and they pass it on to the next. Like you said, reach one, teach one. So it gave me that insight that there is an absolute definite power in poetry, in our words, in what we do.
That's beautiful, and it's true. Absolutely true. Ms. Bregman, what do you got to say about that, man?
Yeah, man. Fortunately for me, like, you know, I write everything, you know, so, you know, love poetry, which I'm really known for, but I also write a lot of, you know, conscious things, you know? And so for me, poetry gave me the voice, right, the courage, the power to say what you want to say. You know what I'm saying? Like that. There's something about it where there's, like you said, the pen is mightier than a sword. You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth. And so it's like, when I was listening to back in the day, like you said, when I got to America, we went to Florida. From Florida, we went to Riker Watts, right? Nixon Garden Projects. You know what I'm saying? Rough area. But at that time, it was like the Panthers were still around. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was like, you know, soul music, Curtis Mayfield, right? Gil Scott-Heron said earlier, the black, the young poets, Nikki Giovanni, like that go on. And so, you know, I picked up on that. And so me being from the Caribbean, like that, right, you know, Bob Marley, things like that, all that influenced me. And poetry was the main influence upon that. And so that's what I got to say about that, sister.
Beautiful as always. And for me, it made me transparent in my truth. You know, we've touched on lots of topics on this show. And writing about the different things and just striking a nerve in someone, encourage is the main word that I'm hearing from each of you, from all of us. It takes courage to put yourself out there to the world. And it's a growth process. You know, you learn, you grow, you know, you inspire, you're feeding people. There's the hungry huddle masses. There's so many people that feel like they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And we have a way of giving them new eyes. You know, we visualize what they want their lives to be. And we empower them to speak it into existence by us writing it into existence. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, with regards to writing, it inspired me to write a book, and a forthcoming release entitled Life Unscripted, Using Your Voice to Transform Your Life. And the interesting thing is that book I had started writing even before I came on internet radio. So it's really interesting the way God works, the way he brings you into a specific area and introduce you to all these different voices that parallels what you've written, what you've always thought, and so forth. So it made me touch upon, you know, giving my viewpoints on things that's going on around the world, spiritual inspiration, you know, being a little radical sometimes. And I never thought that I could write that way. Or maybe I was afraid to write that way. But when things are going on, you know, again, it strikes a nerve, it hits a pulse, and you just have to say something in order to be able to do something. And that's what I have to say about that. Okay, well, that's all our questions for the panelists. Does anyone else have anything you want to add before we go into open mic?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I wanted to say that your poetry is that soul food, that soul food kind of stuff. You sit at the table, and if you want to be full, your poetry does that. Ed does have that Langston Hughes feel, but it's that soft, the world is so harsh and so cold, and he has that soft, even though he's come from that, and that is so dope about him. He has that softness where he can tell you something, he can romanticize your socks off, but in that soft way, And you too, your poetry is so dope and so needed. And I appreciate being here with you all. I appreciate it being on your show, the format, everything. So I'm going to miss all of this. I'm going to miss hearing different people on your show. But you too have that. You have that, you kind of mesh. You have that thing as far as the show goes. So I'm appreciative of being here, and discovering your show was just awesome for me. So that's all I have.
Oh, well, I simply thank you for that. You know, wow. I can't believe I'm speechless. But that's what poetry is, you know. Real poets don't have any shame in digging up another poet and encouraging, you know, you to keep going. And, you know, I've learned a lot from everyone here tonight. And I'm just thankful to have had this opportunity. And, you know, everybody will continue to do their thing. And it's been an honor and a privilege, as I said before. You know, Ed and I coming together, you can't buy that anywhere. You know, it's that diversity that gave us our strength together. And, you know, we're not just show friends. We have a real relationship. We're really family. So thank you, say that. I appreciate it. Ed, you got anything you want to say before we go to open mic?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's like what you're talking about, I'm really honored by that.
Yeah.
She begs me. Well, she was talking about how I write in a soft, romantic way. That's true. You know what I'm saying? You know, I love the women. You know, it's like that. In the poetry, I'm talking about it where you're not afraid to put emotions out there. Tell me, woman, I love her. And that's what my poetry, I'm really trying to do, let the brother know that. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, you're not soft as a man because you tell your woman you love her. Or, you know what I'm saying, or romantic towards your woman, or real with your woman. That's hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what a man does. That's gangster. Scene. And so, you know, I just wanted to say before we go, everyone behind the panel, open mic, everything, man. And it's been a pleasure, for real. And like Sister said, we out here, we trying to do our thing out here, man. We're not here messing around. And lastly, big respect to everybody. And Anna Waddell, when she first came to me with this, you know what I'm saying, she know, you know, I didn't want to do it because I didn't know anything about the radio.
I did it because
of Anna Waddell. And then, you know what I'm saying, Olasky, he kind of schooled us. No, not kind of, he did school us on how to be professional, right, and how to handle ourselves on the radio. So, it's good to talk about us and all that, but we can't forget about, you know, Olasky, where he's like, me and O, right, we respect each other. But sometimes brothers will clash, but don't mean that you have love for each other. See? And so, you know, O was and is the third soul twin, and I thank him for the opportunity. So that's all, Anna.
Awesome.
Well, guys, you know, this show is very touching to me because, you know, that show was from 2018, and then the Soul Twins came back in 2019 on March 12th, and we had a chance, you know, they're going to do a trimester, you know, program. March was the show that, you know, we talked about Dr. Bill Cosby, and the effects and the counter effects of the destruction of the black image. Outstanding show. We plan to do a show that we haven't got a chance to do yet, and I'll be Mr. Boston next year, The Life and Times of Marcus Garvey, in next August. That was the show we were planning for in 2019. 2 days later after that March show, Anna Waddell passed away. It was shocking to all of us. It's still a shock to me. One of my greatest friends passed away in this plane that we call Earth. It was so devastating because we just had a host pass away just 30 days before. Darlene Lawrence died on the 14th of February. We had a celebration of life hosted by the Wonder Twin herself, Andrea Presley. We were going through a mourning, getting over that situation, celebrating the wonderful prowess of broadcasting excellence that is Darlene Lawrence. The same night, or actually the next day, it's at 12.07 a.m. I got a call from Anna Waddell. And she called me, and she always said, hey, old ballhead. Say, hey, girl, what's going on? What's up, Waddell? I said, listen, I want to do something for, you know, Darlene. I said, sure. And she asked me when, you know, the year that she, you know, she was born, you know, we all knew she passed the month before. So I said, oh, 1956. She said, okay, you know, I want to do something for Darlene, you know, because we try to get everything together, and I love you, and let's get this thing going. I said, all right. All right, Anna, love you. Good night. Didn't know that would be my last conversation with the great broadcaster. She passed away on the 14th of March, on Thursday, early morning, pronounced dead at 2:14 in the morning, died on the 14th. And to this day, I have not gotten over it. The Chevron Network is to honor those who have proceeded in greatness. Just because you passed away don't mean you're great in the eyes of the broadcasting world. You look at Darlene Lawrence, the first host to really garner outstanding championship performances. Darlene held the record for 3 years here at WBNN. Until Andrea Presley passed her with 37 all-time connection records. Darlene had 36 all-time. It was the scaffold to climb. And that's why our championship is named after her. Also, and not only that, she was this network's first International Internet Radio Hall of Famer. And that's why when every time you guys pick a championship around the world, I'm talking about my host now, we will say it is the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late, great Hall of Famer. On Black Friday, all of our hosts come together to vote for who they feel should be the host of the year. We have some great ones. Ms. T's Queen, Sonya Griffin, Huni Bakatun twice in 18 and 20. In 19, we had Jared Petito. And last year, we had Sister Bessie the Truther. That award is named after this young lady that we have broadcast tonight. It is called the Anna Waddell Award for Excellence. At this time, we have someone who is not only outstanding at WBNN, but outstanding around the world, PNNJ, Remembering Radio, Hamilton Radio, the outstanding achiever of lifetime excellence. The 2019 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrining, the 2021 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever, and the person that knew Anna Waddell, the Jersey Jewel, Jerry Petito. Jerry, how are you tonight?
Emotional. Wow. So okay, I'll catch my breath here.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her. I love you, and I love you for putting the show on tonight. She was the first one who opened up her heart and arms to me when I came on Beverly Nation, and I will never forget her. I remember exactly where I was. I was actually in Florida at Kathy's house for Ken Brady's 75th birthday. When he called me. Yes. You know, I'll never forget where I was. I'll never forget walking into the living room crying and saying, Kathy, bad news. I love her so much. She was an angel to me because I was new at Beverly Nation at the time, and I was your only white host at the time. And she just opened up her arms to me and said, "You're my family." And we were both born in 1961. When she passed away, we were the same age, and it just broke my heart on so many levels. And I loved her.
You know, Anna Waddell always said, "You're my queen's sister, Jerry Pitino."
Yep. Yeah.
And welcome to the family. And you're going to do great here, she said to you. Boy, did she ever. No, that wonderful year of 2019 that you were the host of the year and enshrinee to the Hall of Fame. In that year, we were still grieving, going to our second Orny Honors. She presented the award to Christine Jesus Powell, okay, for, you know, the Lillian New Host of the Year. Her and Edward Burks. The Soul Twins will continue to live on because of the great performance, the outstanding achievement to be able to have a commitment to excellence. That's what it's all about. I'm going to bring on someone that's important and keep a forum on tonight. That knew Anna Waddell the same way you did. Both of you guys came in 2018 along with Christine Powell. She is phenomenal. Look at her resume, Jerry. The 2021 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Nominee. And the 2021 WBNN New Host of the Year, the Anna Waddell Award recipient, the outstanding Sister Betsy the Truther. Sister Betsy, are you live and correct tonight?
Yes. Peace and blessings, Jerry. Peace and blessings, brother. Hi.
Hey, love you. Love you so much.
Love you back. Yes. I enjoyed this show because it made me remember the twins. And I learned a lot from them. You know, it also hurt my heart because I was just coming in and becoming a host. And she will always be in my heart. And so will my brother. You know, they gave a lot to this podcast, and they are a great example of what we should be and what we should do to help others. And with our poetry, we do a lot. And they left a legacy that can never be taken away. And I appreciate you playing this again. It touches my heart.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it touches all of our hearts. You know, I talk to Anna Waddell more than probably any host ever had in this network. I'm talking about every single day, every single morning. You know, say, "Boy, you better call me when I'm drinking my tea." I said, "Come on now, Waddell. Old ball, anywhere that I say." You know what I mean? I'm from Decatur, where it's greater. She loved being from, you know, living in Decatur, Georgia. A young lady from, you know, the yellow, where the yellow roses grow, in Tyler, Texas. There'll never be another Anna Waddell.
No.
You know, Jerry Pitino, you know, Sister Betsy Truthful, to talk to people who are great, not only at WBNN, but around the world. Talk to a nominee and an enshrinee. Now it's time for me to give flowers for flowers to do. We'll go first to Sister Betsy. What you do on a constant basis here, Betsy, is extraordinary, dynamic, progressive, and spectacular. You have come a long way. Folks, if you know, folks who haven't been around WBNN long enough to understand this, let me set the language straight tonight. This young lady went through a serious drought here on the network. First time she came on, you know, 9 straight times she didn't hit a record. And Bessie said, "Brother, oh, am I good enough? I told you that you were good enough because you caressed the mic and said your piece. Great times will come. Brighter days are sweetly dawning." Didn't I say that to you?
Yes, you did.
This young lady,
yes,
because
did.
Of brighter days dawning, you want to know her resume? Not only being a person has garnered over, let the language be straight tonight, this outstanding human being that we're talking to, Sister Bessie Truth, has garnered 44 all-time connection records. When she first started, she didn't get any in 9 tries. Not only that, because of her excellence, she was nominated for the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame for the class of 2021. And not only that, her peers voted her in last year as the Anna Waddell Award-winning recipient, the WBNN host of the year. Imagine that, overall host of the year. I'm so proud of you, Bessie. You know, 2022 has been a good year for you, but I believe 2023 is going to be greater. Hang in there and do your job and tell the people the truth and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And I
love you. I want to say to the listeners out there, there were a couple of times where I didn't think I was good enough, but teacher, Brother O, he helped me in a lot of ways to understand my gift. And he helped me to see others' gifts, that you could be like them. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Jerry, when I first got on there and heard Jerry, and it made me so happy, and it made me want to do more, because Jerry is
wow.
so special. She is
yes,
so
she is.
Special. I have never said that to you, but you are to me, and I learned a lot from you. And I just want to let you know I appreciate you dearly.
I have to. Can I comment? Can I say something to her?
Yes, you can. Before I go into you.
Sister Bessie, listen, I love you, and you're bringing tears to my eyes. And I just want to say I thank God for you here with us. And I love you, and you are special, and
oh.
your shows were amazing, and you have to know your worth more than anyone. And you are worth it, girl, and I love you, and thank you for that.
Wow.
I love you, dear.
Now we talk about a person that is on 5 different entities of alternative radio. One of the most tireless people that I know. And I have a lot of tireless people in this network. One, we know it's going to give and go through time later. But talking about a person who's a champion. This young lady was voted to the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, not because of WBNN, but because of her tireless work. Outstanding performances. Not only that, in 2019, after Anna passed, she was the first person to receive the award that, of course, is postdated for Miss Tia's Queen and Sonya Griffin. But however, and Honey Buckerton. But in 2019, she came on and she was the first person after, you know, the decedent passed to garner the name on the award, the 2019 WBNN Host of the Year, the Anna Waddell Award recipient. But not only that, her greatest gift to the world is to be enshrined into the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. And not only that, through her greatness, last year she was presented and installed as a Lifetime Achiever. This young lady, and I thank God for her, she'll be presenting me this year at Only Honest. You know, and I know she's crying. That's okay.
I know.
She'll be presenting me this year in my installation as Lifetime Achiever in the Arts and Science of Music, as well as broadcasting producer. The incomparable Jerry Pitino.
Hi, everybody. This was a very emotional night for me. And again, you know, first of all, Anna, she was my age when she passed away. That in itself is hard. Hearing Sister Bessie talk, I'm just thanking God she's here with us. I love you, Sister Bessie. And Brother O, you know how I feel about you. And I was the first one to receive the Anna Waddell, and that's something I will never, ever forget. Never. She's looking down on all of us from heaven, smiling and saying, continue on with the poetry, you know? My heart is, like, I have all these different emotions tonight, and I know she's smiling down on all of us. I know it. And I'm also sorry for you, Brother O, because I know how close you were to her. And
yeah, it's rough.
It's rough. And I love you, and I love WBNN, and I thank you so much for reaching out to me that day and asking me to come along.
Well, the greatest thing we have is each other. I always say that people who are not part of this network don't understand it. They'll never understand it. They think they do because of the glamour. You know, we are a spectacular network. We have the best host in the history of internet radio. I'm not just saying that, but I mean that. You look at Justice the Bessie Truther, what she's done for us. And, you know, telling the truth. And not only that, you know, telling the truth, Jerry Pitino, that's dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she puts her life on the line for us, you know, on a constant basis. And I love her for that. And then you look at you being the consummate variety host. You know, that's amazing to me because you bring so much joy and happiness to a lot of people. A lot of people always say, oh, man, I love Jerry Pitino, what she does. Well, because Jerry is, you know, just like Sister Bessie, a professional. And we're so proud of you, what you claim, you know, in your process. An outstanding Hall of Famer, an outstanding broadcaster, but most importantly, an outstanding human being, a person that is a true mentor to others, a light that shines bright with a commitment to excellence. And I'm really proud of you. And I thank you so much. Go to the callers now. And, you know, I'm going to keep on Jerry and Sister Bessie for this person. Unofficially, of course, we all know November 1st, this person has had unadulterated greatness here on our network. He's one of the few that has garnered this type of excellence. Sonny Griffin with 7, our Citizen Ray with 6, and then the 5s, Shakia Rice, 2015, Andrea Presley, 2015, Christine Jesus Powell, 2018. And 4 years later, this man has garnered that same type of excellence on this sacred night as we honor Anna Waddell. The unofficial WBNN Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year, Clever One.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers. representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we got to bury the little cousins that just came home before they mixtape came out. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, you know, but we gotta plant these flowers, and sometimes these golden flowers gotta get picked. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the golden flowers out here, you know what I mean? And first of all, before most, you know what I mean, shout out to the elders of this network who did a great and beautiful job of molding this network into the greatness in which it is before us as we speak. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, I also like to thank this network for welcoming, the Bad Yoda with the lightsaber of force, with the green illumination upon it, you know what I'm saying, which is from goodness, right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I appreciate all these things. Much gratitude out here. And like I said, you know what I'm saying, to God we belong, to God we shall return. And, you know, we all have a fixed hour, you know what I'm saying? We verily, we know the birth dates. However, we do not know the death dates. And what I advise to us all, and firstly for myself, is that we utilize these things as witnesses to what it is we need to do to rectify our affairs upon this lifetime, you know what I'm saying? Whether we want these things in here or we concentrate on the hereafter, you know what I'm saying? So this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we stand the sticks up to salute those who have fallen. Check your satellites.
Sister Bessie, do you have anything to say to our brother Clav before Jerry has something to say to our brother?
Oh, look, God, I love Clav. I love the way he introduces himself. And I just love the part about checking the satellites. I'd be like, yeah, I need to check my satellite. And I think he's wonderful. I really do. I think he's wonderful. And he is dedicated because you can hear him almost every night. And I love that about him. And I'm quite sure he touches a lot of the youth's heart. So I just want to thank Clef for all that he does. And I just want to let him know that I love him and I support him.
Oh, wow. Jerry Petita on our diving in. Many a new host of the year for the class of 2022, unofficially.
You know how I feel about you, Clef. Listen, from the very first show he did, I was messaging you, Brother O. I love him. He's cracking me up. He's amazing. He's going to be a star, remember? I just love
indeed.
Him. And thank you for being part of our incredible network, and thank you for being so faithful and dedicated.
Our next call is a person through her great broadcast and prowess, one day, I believe, will be a Hall of Fame nominee. With that, of course, comes criteria, and we'll see what happens with that. But I do believe she'll be a nominee one day. Our fourth reigning commissioner of all time, through a tough time in 2020, right, Jerry Petito? Right, Sister Bessie?
Yep.
She reigned over our network during the most trying time in American history, going through a pandemic and social unrest, civil disturbances. And she held her ground. The outstanding Honorable Angela Thomas Smith is on the line right now. Angela, we thank you so much for calling in to honor Anna Waddell tonight.
Hello.
Hopefully she's there. I know not. There she is. Okay. I know sometimes it might be a delay.
Can you hear me?
How are you tonight? Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right.
Okay, talk to her.
Enjoying this. Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
It's a little emotional. I never had a chance to meet Anna, but just hearing the shows and just hearing you guys talk about her, it is very emotional. And I'm just thankful to be a part of O&E and WBNN, now WBNN. I'm just grateful.
Sister Bessie Truther, talking about a person who walks in their purpose, who gives us acronyms all the time, splitting up different letters to give us, you know, a great understanding. Her greatest was LIFE. To me, that was the greatest acronym and explanation. What do you feel about Angela Thomas Smith?
Oh, I love Angela, and I love her toughness and her spirituality that she brings to her program. You know, it's not very many people that will speak about spirituality as she does. And I know she touches many hearts around the world. And I appreciate her for that. And I appreciate her for being a tough cookie.
All right. You heard that, Angie?
Well,
now Jared Petito. I mean, you know this young lady since 2020 when she first came to this network. Your opinion, and then we'll take our next caller.
So, Angela, I want to say hello to you, and I love you, and I wish you could have known Anna. I wish you could have, you know, gotten to know her a little bit, because she would have loved you. And it's just
no
such
doubt.
An emotional night for me. It's such an emotional night. And she was taken way too soon. But I just want to let you know that I think she would have absolutely loved you, and she's looking down smiling at you as well.
Well, yeah. I want to bring back one Angie for a second. Because, Angela, I want to let you know, you always give me accolade on the network. It's your turn now. I want the world, the tens of millions of people to listen on a constant basis, almost 20 million, to know what this woman means to me. This commissioner held me down one of the longest and tumultuous times in our life. Angie knows, right, Angie? We had to do emergency broadcast systems, right, Angie? from March to May, right? Trying to get people together. Remember when I had to read what we need to do for the CDC? Washing your hands, standing with people 6 feet. Remember that? And you give an editorial of things that were going on in the community, murders of our youth at the hands of barbaric people. You held your ground. And you have my total gratitude for that. And I thank you so much for what you've done for me and done for this network, you know, during that tough time. And still did your job as a broadcaster. So we thank you so much for that.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, indeed. And that goes to our next caller. Caller number one, for real, because the rest of our hosts, you're live and direct right now with, you know, our tribute to the incomparable Anna Wydell, 1961, 2019, and the Soul Twins. Hello.
Hello, it's Tiana Speaks, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to say thank you, brother, for playing, you know, this tonight, this classic, because I know how much this woman meant to you. And, you know, how much the show meant to you. Because we've talked about her on numerous occasions, and it's like I finally, you know, got to meet her. Not in an exact way, but I finally got to meet her and see who she was, you know, and she's absolutely amazing. And just like all of the hosts of your network, you do have an amazing network at WBNN. You know, especially, you know, we're right now with Jerry, Angela, you know, Clev, and, you know, everyone on the line, you know. I just, like, I'm blown away at, you know, just listening to everyone's show, you know, in general on a regular basis. And it just brings joy to my heart to finally hear the very, I know that you held so, so close to your heart, you know, and I'm still, you know, my heart does go out to you because I know it was a tragic loss to you, you know, and I know how much if there is, you know, a hole in your heart. But I always tell you, because of you, these people, you know, live on. You know, they have a legacy. You know, people are able to hear their voice forever. You know, and I just want you to, you know, just realize how great that is, that you did that, you know.
Well, the greatest thing about it is we have work to do. And, you know, I appreciate what you said because, yes, the world should be proud. I have work to do. I have no time to be proud of it. But I have time to be able to reflect on the greatness of our network, not just me, because it's not about me, because I could just be a producer of nobody. The greatness is in our hosts. And I know where it's coming from. You love me. That's why you said what you said, and I appreciate what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have no time for rebuilding, of course, no such luxury. Time and time again, we must retool for a commitment to excellence. That's my drive. That's my commitment. And I appreciate you being a very, very outstanding supporter of our network. Just like Clef, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say this, this host that supports the network, and I'm not talking about the hosts that have trials and tribulations. I'm not talking about them. But I'm talking about those who don't have no trials and tribulations and don't call in. Need to be ashamed of themselves. I said what I said. But I appreciate what you do on a constant basis. Don't laugh. This is serious. But I know you. I know when I say some things, it's funny. It is what it is. It's a little bit of levity.
No, you know I can't help it.
But, you know, for someone that calls in on a constant basis, not with trials and tribulations, but calls in on a constant basis, I appreciate you very, very much. I appreciate your kind words. And one thing that moved me, what you said, is that, you know, I was a vessel that has allowed people to be themselves, to be professional. Those who have not been professional, they're no longer here. And they'll be replaced by someone greater than them. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You know, you helped me too. You know, you definitely helped me too, and I've told you that before. You know, even just WBN has a different, you know, it's a different dynamic than other, you know, stations. And it's just a level of, you know, comfort, you know, even feeling like family, even people that I have never met face-to-face, you know. Just like, you know, like, and the truth, you know, everyone speaks the truth and their own truth. You don't always find that. You know, they're their true, genuine selves. And you created this, you know. So I really appreciate you for that and introducing me to something that, you know, I probably, you know, wouldn't have found, let's say, without the help of Ava, you know. So, you know, like, I don't know if they're still on the line, but, you know, Bessie, Angela, Clev, and, you know, Jerry, and everyone else who I've spoken to, you know, everybody is absolutely amazing. Like, everyone, you know, everybody has each individual, you know, thing that they bring to the network, you know, and I really love that variety, you know, it's absolutely amazing. You know, it's like opening a gift that you don't know what's in the bag each time, you know, and I love that.
Well, we love you, and I appreciate what you do on a constant basis and everything that, you know, that you have just expounded upon, and I just love you very, very, very much. And now it's time for Ngozi time. Now, of course, I will not be doing Ngozi time. It is what it is, but we will give our fifth reigning commissioner a chance to do this because it is so important. And I love the fact that she's been here for me. She's also an outstanding commissioner and a person that does a show every single week on our network, has grown the franchise, a news forum that I was a broadcasting host and anchor. And she listened to what I told her to do. And she's astounded. Not only she's, you know, achieved, but she succeeded greatness. The Honorable Dr. Chichilla J.
All right. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful program tonight from the BevNet Classics with Anna Waddell, the wonderful, distinguished, awesome woman that she was, and Edward Burke, the Soul Twins. Wow. And I always love hearing all of the wonderful, wonderful things that the hosts that have known her has to say. From Jerry, from Sister Bessie. And, you know, I know Hooney knew her as well, and Antonia. And I've heard them talk about her in the past. And it's just so wonderful that people can be remembered in such an honorable way, such as Anna Waddell, a wonderful person. And, you know, whoever's the Anna Waddell winner this year for the host of the year, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome because we're representing her and her legacy for her time on Beverly Nation, which is now WBNN. And, wow, all I can say is, wow. Friday night we heard BevNet Classic from the archives of Darlene Lawrence, who that award for the record when we break an all-time record. The Darlene Lawrence. And, you know, that happens every week when a host is breaking a record. So two wonderful women that were part of this network that are no longer here, but both of their legacies continue to live on. And Tiana, I love to hear you all the time. I missed you last night on News Forum. Didn't hear from you or Clev one last night. And so you see you guys calling in. And Clev, you definitely have my condolences on the loss of your cousin. And there's still so much gun violence and all types of violence in the city of Philadelphia and other inner cities around this country. When will the violence stop? It's just such a sad situation. Don't forget, everybody, to vote on November the 8th. The midterm elections around this country are very, very crucial. Crucial election. All 435 seats are up for grabs in the House and 35 seats in the Senate. So make sure you vote. And in every state, the attorney general is up for re-election, and also governors are up for election. And so vote, 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 vote. Get your vote in there. Get out the vote. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Tai Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And stay tuned for Know Your Rights. Well, Know Your Rights. By International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting elect Tara Strength at 9:30 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now, stay tuned right now as we go back to our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting lifetime achiever, Brother Oladele Milewe Ngozi.
And that is from the 2021 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, the Sonia Griffin Award winner, the fifth reigning commissioner of our time, Dr., the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. My final thoughts are very swift. WBNN is fantastic. Every show that we do, including this one right now, has been archived for posterity. Every single show. If a host, and I've had some, you know, I have some great hosts on our network, say if they call out for any reason, they'll be on that same night because the archive will be there. Angie calls out, she'll be there. Jerry calls out, she'll be there. Clev One calls out, he'll be there. Sister Bessie calls out, she'll be there. Our reigning commissioner, the same Because the voice is what matters, not anything else. It's the voice that counts. It is our wonderful rendition, you know, of something that's near and dear to our hearts. It is the message, the archive, our greatness, the achievement, the music. It is WBNN. We are dynamic, progressive, and spectacular.